feet. Knocks off number one Indiana.
Brent Spillane continues to be the hottest thing in college baseball.
The Illini win it over Ohio State 28-21 at the Horseshoe in Columbus.
Darren for the tie. He got it.
Oh,
he got it. 80-80.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Oski Talk from Section 231 of Memorial Stadium. I'm Anthony Pasquale with Patrick Catazone, and this is a fun episode.
Yeah, we got lots to talk about. We're coming out of the press conference right now. We thought we might not do the podcast till later so that we could get a couple interviews. It was bye week, so
yeah,
there wasn't a whole lot to talk about.
Yeah, there's a lot of stale content bye week. There's not a ton to talk about, so we wanted to make sure
we got you the best content.
We not only got you fresh voices from Jake Hansen, Reggie Corbin, maybe Wole Batiku, but also you don't have to rely on us the whole time to talk about our Mount Rushmores when
exactly. It's
a game week now.
Right. So first off, we're playing Minnesota this week. We absolutely obliterated them last year at Dad's Weekend, which was awesome because it was Dad's Weekend, and that was just great.
All the dads are probably like, wow, your football team's good.
I know. My dad was like, I can't believe they won this game 55 to 27?
55 to 31, and it should have been like probably 62 to 14, but there are a couple of garbage time touchdowns. There was the dumb fumble that they called back at the end of the first half. Obviously, 55 to 31 looks like Illinois blew them out, but even that was too generous. Illinois destroyed them.
Yeah, they got absolutely blown out last year, but it's going to be a revenge game for Minnesota.
At home for them this time.
The Lovie versus PJ Fleck now rivalry that I think they have is really fun to watch.
It's fun to watch because I think it's very unexpected.
It's awesome. It's a great storyline because PJ Fleck is the exciting head coach who's like 100% college, and Lovie Smith is the NFL coach who's very serious and won't tell you anything.
Speaking of won't tell you anything,
yeah.
He got you with his signature, I'm not going to answer this question.
Yeah, I asked him about Isaiah Williams potentially playing more this year and then what his plan was for him, and he didn't answer.
Fine.
That's fine. That happens.
It's I'm not Lovie. Mad.
I'm not that mad about it. I am a little upset, but
see, I personally prefer talking to the players because I feel like they identify with us in a different way than Lovie Smith does. They respond to us better, and that's why you're hearing from three players in this podcast and not from Lovie Smith.
Absolutely. Where do we start off? PJ Fleck. I asked Reggie Corbin about what he thought about PJ Fleck and his coaching style. So here that is right now.
He's high energetic, man. I don't have anything negative to say about him, of course, obviously he's a good coach. This will be my third time playing against him. I think he does a heck of a job of getting his guys to play hard for him and believing in his system and everything that he believes in. And I think that's kind of like the best thing you can do as a coach. So I applaud him and the job he's been doing.
Awesome. Thanks, Reggie. Yeah, so interesting take there from, Reggie. Just obviously, nothing bad to say about him.
But he's not really going to have anything bad to say
about
anybody.
I don't think he can really say anything bad about another head coach. But, PJ Fleck does bring a lot of excitement to his team, too, and he gets his guys energized. And, PJ Fleck could have been our head coach.
Right, could have been.
Yeah, but that's what I always think about. That's why I think the PJ Fleck versus Lovie Smith rivalry is so interesting because he beat us here when he was at Western Michigan. Then next year he becomes the head coach of Minnesota and we blow him out here. And now we're in year three of this rivalry and don't know where it's going.
Yeah, we really don't know. And, back to the whole Reggie thing, I liked what he said about PJ Fleck. He's a fun guy to play against. Obviously, Reggie had his way with that defense last time.
Yeah.
And Reggie had a little bit more to say about the offense as a whole, and we'll get that to you right now. And you mentioned before the season that one of your personal goals, if you have any, is to get your offensive lineman drafted. Is there a particular thing that you do after you have a bigger performance that you kind of honor them a little bit?
I try to score as fast as I can, man, so they can go sit down and rest. That's just kind of it. It's not like we're getting paid tons of money, but if I was, I would take them boys out to eat every time I could. So.
Yeah, Reggie's just a really, really humble guy. Obviously, he said he wants his offensive lineman to get drafted and admitted that if he had more money, he'd be taking them out. Reggie's just a good guy.
Yes, he's awesome. He's a really nice guy to talk to. But yeah, and
he's primed for a big game this week.
And can I just really quick talk about PJ Fleck one more time?
Go for it.
Sorry. He's from Sugar Grove, Illinois. Like, he was the promised guy that we were going to get and then didn't work out.
How many more wins would we have if we had PJ Fleck?
I don't know. We might be even worse. I don't really know. It's hard to say. Yeah, it's hard to say. But Minnesota's already at 4 wins and we only have 2. So,
it's a good point.
All I got to say.
Cannot argue with that.
All I got to say there. We also caught up with Jake Hansen, talked a little bit about the defense, talked about how the offense might be affecting the defense, because we talked, I felt like this press conference was about how the offense, too, was going a little too fast, kept the defense on the field a lot.
It's a matter of if the offense goes fast but drives down the field and scores, that's one thing. But if the offense plays up-tempo and it's a 3-and-out, the defenders barely even get to their seats before they have to strap the helmet back on and go play defense against a high-powered offense who ran almost 100 plays for 700 yards. That's not a good recipe for success for Illinois' defense, but they're never going to tell the offense to slow down because that's how you tire out the opponent's defense. It's a give and take that if both of them are successful, the team wins. If one of them isn't, the other one struggles mightily.
Right. So, I talked to some of them about that. We'll see what Jake Hansen. We'll play the whole interview here up next.
So, obviously, you guys have had a lead in all 4 games, only been able to win 2. What can you guys do as a defense to preserve leads when you guys have them?
I think just we clean up our pass defense. We clean up. I think it maybe just. Just finish. It's hard to say. I think we just got to play better overall and just really tighten down in the fourth quarter, because that's where we've lost those games, is in the fourth quarter. So I think just tighten everything down in the fourth quarter for sure.
Is there a specific recipe to do that, or is it just bearing down through some fatigue and making plays?
I think it's more mental, because I think we're all in shape physically. I think we're all physically a lot better than we were last year for sure. And I think that I think it's more of a mental thing, and I think just when you're a little bit more tired, being able to
mentally
adjust and still know what the coverage is and what our assignments are. So,
and obviously last week you guys had that a little bit of a home field advantage with playing here. This time it's on the road. What kind of challenges did that present to you guys as a defense, being on the road?
You got a hostile crowd, and I think that I personally like playing on the road too, because I like being able to silence a crowd. I think that's almost as cool as making a big play and then having the crowd get hyped. So I think it's I think there's some challenges, but I think there's also some cool things for us. I think the main challenge is getting on a plane, flying, getting off the plane, and having to get yourself going for tomorrow, the next day.
Do you think that up-tempo offense kind of like caused you guys to be a little bit more tired towards the end of that game?
I mean, anytime you play up-tempo, hurry-up offense, you're going to get tired, and it's gonna happen. But at the end of the day, it's not an excuse for what happened. And if you play 100 snaps too, no matter who you're playing or whatever, it's gonna be a tiring game for sure.
Yeah, you had a great week last week. How do you kind of get guys around you to try and be the best and play as well as you did last week?
I would just say just being at, like, leading guys better and helping people mentally prepare a little bit better. I don't know. I left some plays out there too. It wasn't like I played like some phenomenal game. I think the mental preparation is a big part. Mm-hmm.
It seemed last week that stripping or punching out the ball was kind of a main focus for you guys defensively.
Was that something you guys practiced a lot the week before? Is it a mindset that
changed?
So
it's not. I think it, I don't know, if you go throughout each game, I think it's improved every single game. I think it really showed up against Nebraska, especially because we played a lot of snaps and everything. But I think it's improved every single week, and we've always had a point of emphasis on that, and it just showed up a little bit more, I think, this week.
How important are takeaways, especially when you go and play a pretty good offense on the road? How important is it to get a takeaway in the game this week?
Well, it's a momentum killer. It just, like, no matter how much you're up, it just kills all momentum that they may have had. It really can change the game. Like, you saw last week, even with 700 yards of offense, we were still, you'd think we'd get blown out just by looking at that, but with four takeaways in the right, like, times, like, we had a takeaway on there, got it to there too, we score right away, boom. Those takeaways create big opportunities for the offense and can keep you in a game, so.
Really like what Hansen had to say there. He's not going to say he wants to slow the ball down, obviously, on offense, you know.
Yeah, I also thought it was interesting how he brought up, like, the whole fourth quarter mental mindset that the team might not have had, but they need if they want to start closing out games. I mean, that's what you want your captain to say. You want your captain to say, we can do better, and we can do better.
Yeah, and you know, he really is a leader on offense. He always talks about, like, physically, that's not his job, right? He's talking about the mental aspect of the game, and he has to make sure his guys are ready for that, and I think he does a really good job of focusing on that part of the game.
He does, but can also obviously certainly improve that, because Illinois has had the lead in all four games they've played this year, lost the last two because the defense couldn't hold them out or the offense couldn't score late. And this most recent one was a little bit of a mix of both against Nebraska, and it's up to Hansen and the defense to make sure that doesn't happen again.
Yep, and we'll see with this Minnesota offense, because PJ Fleck's going to bring as much as he possibly can at home against us. I still feel like we have a really good chance, though.
Yeah, I mean, maybe we're just both optimists, but I also think we have a really good chance. I mean, Lovey and Rod even both said it. We match up against Minnesota well. We destroyed them last year. They're going to be out for blood a little bit trying to avenge that game, but we also have confidence because we did destroy them last year. I think this is almost a trap game for Minnesota because Illinois can definitely come in there, play control game, a complete game, run the ball effectively, play defense when you have to, and come out of there with a win. That's best case scenario.
Yeah, I think there's only a couple teams that I think we match up against Wisconsin really well, and I think we're gonna get killed by them. But you think about a strong defense versus we're pretty good at run defense. It's our secondary that really needs a little bit more help. Yeah. I feel like their offense isn't, I mean, it's good. I mean, Taylor is amazing. Don't get me wrong. Cone's pretty good as well. But, like, in terms of matchup and style of play, I feel like, you know, if we could drive down the field a couple of times, like, we're a good matchup against Wisconsin.
And the third team I would mention there that we're a good matchup against is Michigan. And those are our next three games. So if there's ever been a time for Illinois to rattle off three surprising upset victories in a row, it's right now.
Right.
And that would put Illinois in a glorious spot to eventually make a bowl. They'd probably end up ranked if they go on a roll here and beat Minnesota.
Nah, I wouldn't say that.
Really? If you beat Minnesota, Michigan, and Wisconsin,
yeah, maybe. But we're not going to beat Wisconsin.
We probably won't, but it's here. It's on homecoming. We got destroyed last year on homecoming.
Yeah.
Maybe it's a different story this year, but like you said, at least these teams match up well,
right,
which should present some entertaining football.
Right, and here's where Lovey needs to really step up. It's if he wins this Minnesota game, he has Michigan here with a team that's excited, with a guy who wants to be his former team. Like, that's a great win, potentially, if they could win it.
And then it also sets up a perfect – it also sets up a perfect beat Minnesota, beat Michigan, a perfect time – for a classic Illinois dud against Wisconsin,
right,
and just get destroyed.
Yeah, which I think
see that's
happening.
Pretty likely. You play Minnesota tough,
you play
whether
Michigan
you
tough.
Win or lose that one. I think you beat Michigan and then get destroyed by Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I think I'd be okay with that. To win two out of
too.
Three or at least one out of the next three, that's a good thing.
If they win two of the next three, they're 4-3, which is really good. And they have Rutgers and Northwestern to go. And Iowa, like, I feel like that's not bad. Yeah. They have two more games, too, after. I'm trying to think who else they play.
They play Michigan State at Michigan State.
Oh, so that's a blowout.
That's probably going to be a big loss. And then what's the final game?
Northwestern. That's it.
No, I mean, oh, did we say them all?
Seven. I think we had seven, then. Let me look it up right now. Oh, we're already at four games, though, so seven. There's only five more games, so that's it.
Yeah, there's only five more games. We play Minnesota. We play Michigan. We play Wisconsin. We play Michigan State, then Rutgers, and then Northwestern. Yeah. That six. That's
Purdue.
Six
we've got
more.
Purdue.
Oh, Purdue. Right.
We Purdue's go to the Purdue. Other one. That's a winnable game. Like, there's like the season isn't over. They just need to fix a lot of what's going on.
And right I now. Also think being 3-2 is huge moving forward, as opposed to 2-3. So I think that this game is a big one for Illinois to kind of set the tone for the rest of the year. They don't even have to win it as much as they have to play a good football game. If it's a game where you can draw more positives than negatives after the game, that's a win in my book. Well, we do have one more interview from today. We're going to give you guys probably our favorite guy to talk to on the team, Wole Batiku, next. Coach Smith mentioned pass rush being really important this week. What are you going to try to do to make sure the pass rush is very good against Morgan?
I mean, just do what I've been doing, you know, just play hard and give the maximum effort on the field and leave it out there.
Are there any personal goals for you this week in terms of sacks to compete with the nation leader or anything like that?
My personal goal is always to win games. It's never been about getting sacks or getting TFLs. I just try to play as hard as I can within the defensive scheme and win the game, get the W.
And as a defense, obviously last week you guys gave up a lot of yards. What are your what's the game plan this week to kind of stop Minnesota?
I mean, we just got to lock in and buy in. Our game plan is great, but everybody needs to stay in the right gaps and play assignment football and not take any play for granted for the whole 60 minutes.
And finally, I saw a video today that in a huddle you guys said 97 strong. Mm-hmm. What does that mean to you?
I mean, it means a lot. You know, we all miss Bobby. I wish he was here. When he gave up everything for the team last year. I mean, from the film I've watched of him, he played with a lot of effort. And, you know, just not having him on the team or not having him with us just kind of hurts, you know, because I know if he was here, he would play all out for the team.
Thanks to Wole, as always. He's always so honest. I loved what he said at the end about how much they really miss Bobby Rountree. I mean, they say in the huddle 97 strong before the games. That's just a great testament to a guy that, I mean, he hasn't even played with yet.
Yeah, absolutely. On that note, let's do some power rankings. We try to do this every Monday.
Our favorite Monday thing to do.
Yeah, is to power rank the Big Ten. So, shall we get started? At number one, I have Ohio State.
Yeah, I don't even think that's debatable. They've looked unbelievable. They throttled Nebraska over the weekend. Just a great win for Ohio State. They look like a team that deserves to get into the college football playoff, and if the season ended today, they would. So Ohio State, number one.
Absolutely. Number two, I have Penn State.
I've got Wisconsin, number two. I think Wisconsin has shown up for the majority of the year this year. They look like a much better team, in my opinion, than Penn State does. Granted, Penn State did have that huge win this weekend.
Absolutely huge. That's why I put them at number two. I think when you throttle Maryland, Mike Locksley, Maryland, like, your defense is good. Like, that's a good defense. Their offense is basically where they are last year. I mean, they don't have Trace McSorley anymore, but they're right back to being a powerhouse in the Big Ten. I honestly think they could challenge Ohio State. They might be the team that in the Big Ten that ends up in the college football playoff.
Yeah, I have Penn State 3. I think you probably have Wisconsin 3. There's really no debate that these three teams are kind of the cream of the crop in the Big Ten.
Yeah.
Loved what I've seen from all three teams so far.
Wisconsin might be in the college football playoff picture as well, just because, I mean, that offense looks better than it has looked in the past, I don't know, 5 years. Like, Taylor's amazing. Cone's also pretty good. Yeah. Like, he can throw the ball
capably, all Wisconsin needs.
Right, which is, in the past 5 years, if they had a better quarterback, they would have probably won the whole damn thing. So, up next, 4, I got Michigan State.
I have Michigan State 4 also. I think they're just missing that top tier, but they're the best of that second tier in the Big Ten.
Next, I have Iowa at number 5.
I have Michigan 5. I think Michigan has been the victim of a couple of tough games. I don't think they're as good as we thought they were at the beginning of the year, but I don't think they've fallen off that much in these rankings. So I'm going to say Michigan 5.
Nebraska 6 after the Illinois win. Their offense, I think, is good. They proved the one thing that they needed to prove, that they could win close games, which I was in the stands. I was like, no way Nebraska wins this game. They don't know how to win close games. And then they did. So I think they might have taken that next step in Scott Frost's program to be where they are right now, and I have them number 6.
Yeah, I thought the same thing until Ohio State just dismantled them this weekend. I've got Nebraska a little bit lower. I have Iowa coming in at 6.
Okay. I have Michigan at 7, so.
My 7 is Maryland. I know they just got smoked by Penn State, but in every other game, they've looked like an elite offensive team, so I've got Maryland 7.
I have Maryland 8. I got smoked. I don't know how real this Mike Locksley team's going to be. That offense looks slow, but that might just be Penn State, so I don't know where to really put them, so I put them at number 7.
Yeah, I put Minnesota 8 just because 4-0 is 4-0. That might change after this week if Illinois beats them, but I've got Minnesota 8.
Our power rankings have never been more different. Number 9, I have Northwestern.
I have Nebraska 9. Okay. I think that's a reasonable drop-off for just squeaking by Illinois and then getting throttled by Ohio State. So I've got Nebraska coming in at 9.
Purdue at 10.
Purdue at 10 also, so we're consistent there.
There we go. Indiana at 11.
I've got Illinois 11.
Okay. I still have Illinois very low. We still haven't proved – mine's basically based off who I think has proved themselves more. Yeah. I think yours is based off more like end of the season.
Probably. But I still haven't loved what I've seen from Indiana. And I'm pretty sure you have Rutgers last two.
Yeah.
And so those are my last two. I have Illinois and Northwestern here just because both of those teams have the potential. They just haven't looked that great yet.
Yeah. I have Indiana, then Minnesota. I think Minnesota's the worst 4-0 team in the land. I think they're 12. I honestly think we'll beat them this weekend and pretty handily.
Yeah. Like I said, I've got Northwestern 12.
And then Illinois 13, we haven't proved ourselves at all. We lost two games we should have won, and we all know that. So we're number 13. Yeah,
I've got Indiana 13, and then close it out with Rutgers. Rutgers is going to be another year of just being bad.
They fired Chris Ash.
Even when they score touchdowns, they get punched in the mouth. I don't know if you saw that video from last week.
No.
An offensive lineman lifted up their quarterback after he threw a touchdown. And then was trying to give him a high five. The quarterback looked away, and he ended up just punching him in the face. So that's just such a Rutgers thing to happen. That's why they're 14th.
Yeah, I think Chris Ash getting fired is huge because Urban Meyer, question mark.
I doubt it. That guy might literally die if he coaches again.
I don't know, dude. I think he's itching to get back in. I think he might try and do Rutgers. We'll see.
Then Illinois. Come to Illinois.
No, we can't hire. This is too much of a project.
Yeah,
Rutgers
right.
Isn't that much of a project. And New Jersey is a really like great place to recruit kids. Yeah. Out of like
I don't know if
you
could turn that team into the powerhouse Ohio State was, but definitely more competitive than they were, and probably towards the middle, towards top of the pack of the Big Ten East. There, I don't know. It'd be interesting. I don't think it'll happen though.
Yeah. Well. That'll do it for Oski Talk from Memorial Stadium. What section are we in?
231.
231, section 231. If you sit in this area, hey.
It's at row 15, seats 1 and 2.
All right, row 15, seats 1 and 2. If you sit in these seats, hit us up because we love these seats. We'll maybe try and make a visit. That'd be funny if we visited over here during the game and be like, hey, yeah. You listen to our podcast? That'd be a great idea.
Just market it.
Yeah.
Be like, hey, everybody listen to Oski Talk. Yeah. We're sitting right here. Yeah, I think we might even tweet out a picture from the Champagne Room Twitter just so you guys know the view that we have right now while giving you guys this podcast.
Great view. You can see the South Bell Tower. See Searcy.
Got the armory over there.
Yeah.
Obviously, you got this end zone that hasn't seen much action the last few weeks. But back to that Nebraska game, this end zone was where everybody was scoring.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that'll do it for Oski Talk. Make sure you... subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts. We're getting on Spotify soon. Got the email today. We'll be on there very soon. And that'll do it for Oski Talk. Thanks for listening,
guys. We'll see you Thursday.
Yeah.